You may have seen the hashtag, This Is My Lane. It's part of a huge online spat between emergency room and trauma doctors and the NRA. It started when the American College of Physicians issued a report calling for more research into guns as a public safety issue, to which the NRA tweeted out that self-important anti-gun doctors should stay in their lane and practice medicine rather than opine on firearm policy. Well, hours later, 12 people were shot and killed by a gunman at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks, California, and trauma doctors roared back. Dr. Daniel Kay wrote on Twitter, Dear NRA, until you're covered in blood and pronounce someone dead in the trauma bay, or told a mother that her child is dead, or sewed someone's scalp together so their family doesn't have to see their brain matter, please don't tell me what my lane is. Dr. Howie Mell wrote, Moments you always remember, furious honking in the ambulance bay, picking up the lifeless 12-year-old from the front seat like he weighed nothing, putting him on the cot, so many holes, no breathing, finger thoracostomy, his finger plugging a bullet hole, so much blood shooting up my arm, he died. Hashtag, this is my lane. Joseph Sacrin is trauma surgeon at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. He launched the This Is Our Lane page on Twitter. And Dr. Sacrin, you've also been sharing grim insights into treating gunshot victims, but you are also one of them?
That's correct. I was a victim of gun violence when I was 17. I was nearly killed after being shot in the throat with a .38 caliber bullet.
Now, this is during a high school football game, 1994. Am I hearing a little of that now? I mean, shot in the throat.
Yeah, so, you know, I actually have a paralyzed left vocal cord, and so I do have a little bit of a raspy voice. And, you know, when something like that happens at such a young age, it really changes your life. And this second chance that I got really inspired me to go into medicine, inspired me to become a trauma surgeon, and then really figure out how do we work at that intersection of medicine, public health, and public policy.
Yeah. In fact, you trained with the same surgeons who saved you to be the trauma surgeon that they are. And so now you see gunshot wounds every day. What do you think when you first saw these tweets from the NRA? Stay in your lane.
Well, you know, when I first saw that type of communication, I really was incensed. And it honestly was a clear demonstration to me, the rest of the medical community, and frankly, Americans all across this country, that they are not serious about moving this needle forward on this public health issue that we're facing.
Well, look, this has been going on for a long time. We remember Congress hasn't substantially funded gun violence research since 1996, and that was after the CDC got curious about the NRA claim that guns made homes safer, so they did research and found out, to officials' horror at the time, that in fact guns made homes far less safe. The NRA was so angry about that study, they went to Congress and lobbied to get funding for that kind of research cut off, and they essentially did with the Dickey Amendment, which is why we haven't seen this kind of research. You and all these other doctors now, and this study that came out that prompted the NRA tweet this time around, you know, are saying you need that research. Do you think you're going to get it?
The research piece is such an important point because gun violence has less than 1% of the research funding that other diseases, for example, like sepsis have, even though gun violence and sepsis kill about the same number of Americans every year. So having federal dollars to be able to figure out what are the solutions to dealing with this problem, similar to what we've done with motor vehicle fatalities in the 60s and 70s and tobacco, is going to be so critical to move this conversation forward and to really be able to implement appropriate solutions. This is about all of us united together. And so right now, a lot of us are in conversation with other organizations to team up with them to be able to, again, work together similar to what we have communicated, you know, with the NRA. We feel like everyone deserves to be a part of the solution. So we're not going to silo ourselves off. We are going to break down these silos and work with existing gun violence prevention organizations, gun owners, in order to really help move this conversation forward and implement action that's going to save lives and make communities safer.
But, you know, do you think that things have shifted? And you know, the response from the doctors would seem to indicate that maybe they have. Were you surprised? Lots of F-bombs in tweets and people saying, that must be my lane. Come into my lane. I've cared for victims of gun violence for the past 25 years. This is from one doctor. Another neurosurgeon shared a picture of a bloody bullet she'd removed from the brain of a six-month-old that had been shot. A trauma surgeon in New Jersey posted the picture of the blue plastic chair she sits in to tell parents their child has died. An emergency room doctor in Louisville sent a picture of blood just covering the floor. And as we said, a lot of rage. And by the way, can you try to explain where that comes from? Explain your world and working with gunshot victims.
Yeah, so let me just say that the medical community, those of us that are, you know, day in, day out taking care of these patients, we are literally on the front line. And so for some person or group to think that the medical community is not a part of this conversation, I think is sorely mistaken, because the reality is, you know, Robin, any complex health solution like this cannot be solved by simply one person or one organization. It requires stakeholders from all walks of life. And so when I have to walk into those waiting rooms and I have to talk to those mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and tell them that their loved one is not coming back, that type of experience that we have to go through every day, most people don't understand. Let me just talk broadly about what's happening in this country. Every day, over 95 people die from gun violence. Yeah. Every day. And that's not to mention, you know, the over 300 that are shot every day. And so, you know, when we talk about these mass shootings and which get a lot of the media coverage, I think one of the important things to remember is that's just the tip of the iceberg. In fact, we have young black men that are being killed in our inner cities all across this country. And frankly, their story often goes untold.
Look, part of that tweet from the NRA, you know, it was stay in your lane, but also that you're too much in your lane, that doctors only talk amongst themselves and that they publish these papers in a vacuum with other doctors. Conservative commentator Ann Coulter tweeted out, emergency room doctors pull cue balls, vines, and gummy bears out of human orifices every week. That doesn't make them experts on pool, horticulture, or chewy candy. I mean, the point they're both making is that, you know, this doesn't make you an expert. I would presume you disagree.
I absolutely disagree. And actually, let me just take that a step further. You know, for them to say that we haven't engaged other groups or organizations is categorically false. In fact, the American College of Surgeons met with the leadership of the NRA in January of 2017 to try to determine how do we, you know, find some common ground in order to reduce firearm injury and death in this country. So it's not true.
And the editor of the Annals of Internal Medicine, in which that study was printed, said, we're not anti-gun, we're anti-bullet holes. Look, a doctor-founded group, AFFIRM, the American Foundation for Firearm Injury Reduction in Medicine, wrote a letter for doctors nationwide to co-sign, pointing out that the Thousand Oaks mass shooting was the 307th in 2018. And listed some of their concerns, which includes the devastating effects of bullets from high-capacity weapons. Do you see that? Is it that different, a bullet from a shotgun and one from an assault-type rifle?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in America, we see the full spectrum, anything from a handgun to, you know, the AR-15 and a lot of these mass shootings. And the pattern of injury can definitely be different. You know, the AR-15 really pulverizes tissue and causes a significant amount of destruction. So, you know, even if you didn't necessarily, you know, hit that specific piece of tissue, the blast effect might cause injury to it. Yeah. So they are very different.
Look, you survived a shooting. You carry it, obviously, are conscious of it. And now you see victims, you know, every day. Do you ever think, you know, the heck with you all, if you're going to bow to the NRA, I'm going to France, you know, and take your life back from what is really kind of a grimness. Do you ever feel that way?
Absolutely not. I am an American. I love this country. And this is, let me just say, this is not about us versus the NRA or us versus anyone else. You know, I think when you look at the conversation, people try to polarize it. And the reality is, Robin, as Americans, we have a lot more in common than we have that's dissimilar. So instead of focusing on our differences, we have to start with what I believe we all have in common, a belief that we are now, today in this country, in a situation that's not okay. It's not okay for children to leave for school in the morning and not come home in the evening. It's not okay for people to go to church, synagogue, concerts, work, and not come home because of gun violence. So we have to start acknowledging that we are facing a problem, a public health crisis.
That's Dr. Joseph Sacharin, a gunshot survivor himself as a teenager and now a trauma surgeon at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore. Dr. Sacharin, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Robin.
And we reached out to the NRA to join us to talk about this. The invitation still stands. We're hoping to hear back.